You touch a key, and it just completely hard freezes the system.
Nice.
I'm hijacked.
Ding, 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 ding. We got a winner.
It only does this when it starts up.
Never turn the computer off, then.
You can trust no one, especially people that you think you can trust, except for us. You can trust us.
We want others to learn from your pain.
Let me tell you what my dilemma is.
Let's do that.
Does your computer bite? Has your hard drive gone floppy? It's time to call the Computer Corner on News Talk 92.3 KTAR. Now in the Computer Corner, here are the Data Doctors.
And welcome to the final edition of the Computer Corner for the year that is 2007. We're going to have 3 hours to spend with you this afternoon as Dr. Art Mullen will not be doing his call-in medical program. So those of you that like to hang around and ask Dr. Art medical questions in the third hour, you're going to get to ask computer questions of the Data Doctors. So we'll see if we can't fill that void for Dr. Art. But we want to kind of go through a little bit of what we talked about last week, which was kind of some of the events and happenings and things that we saw in 2007. And more importantly, we want to talk about the things that we expect to see in 2008. And that's everything from the good stuff, the bad stuff. Vince, come on up to the mic here. Vince is going to join us, first time on the show, but a data doctor nonetheless.
Yep.
Vince, welcome to the show. You're going to help us in the next 3 hours answer some calls, some questions.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Want to hear from all of you, 602-277-5827. And, of course, we're going to be here as we are every week to answer your computer and technology questions. But small caveat today. We want those of you calling in to participate in today's theme, and that is to either give us a little reflection on 2007, tell us about technology that had a impact on your technological life, or tell us what you're looking forward to in 2008. What piece of technology is on your radar screen that you want to pick up? Is it an iPhone? Is it the iPod Touch? Is it the a Mac? Is it something from Apple? Is it something with a Linux operating system? Is it something? What is it? Is it a handheld device? Share with those thoughts with us, and I think people will maybe think about new technologies they've never heard of when they hear you talking about it. About you, Vince, anything in 07 that really wowed you from the standpoint of technology?
That really wowed me?
Yeah, you got to step up to the mic there, though.
I was really surprised with the new Nanos and the new iPods, just the size change in them, and those iTouch and iPhones are amazing.
Yeah, the interface is pretty wild. But, I mean, was it enough? Was it compelling enough for you to go out and buy one, or is it just kind of a cool thing?
No, not yet. I have a Nano, but I still haven't even used it. I got it for Christmas 2 years ago. I barely use it.
Yeah, you have the old style.
Correct.
You don't have the new one with the little video screens and all that stuff. So maybe in 08. I mean, the interface on the iPod Touch and the iPhone, which, you look at, my son's got an iPod Touch. It's an iPhone that without the phone part. Yeah. I mean, it's like they disabled all the other stuff. But otherwise, it's a pretty interesting little device with the video capability and those kinds of things. So, and of course, next week or the week after? Let me think here. Next week? No, it's the week after next is the Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas. So that's where we're going to start to see some of the first new things that I make a joke. I mean, I've been going to the Consumer Electronics Show, both in the audio video business and computer business, for over 20 years. And it used to be just a phenomenal show where you'd just see the coolest stuff ever. And now you have to search for it, because I call the Consumer Electronics Show the show that specializes in solutions searching for a problem. It's like people have all of these great gadgets that are trying to solve a problem that really doesn't exist, So that's part of it. We got to weed through all these things. But give us a call, 602-277-5827. If you don't want to talk on the phone, you can always communicate via our website, datadoctors.com. If you click on the radio show section, you will see today's offerings, including a lot of predictions from around the web, some of our favorite pundits out there. On the right-hand side, however, you can, in the feedback section, you can click on the Ask a Question button and give us your thoughts, questions, general comments, anything that you would like through the interface that we have on there, which we don't want you to send email because there's so much spam out there. So we use this form as a way for you to be able to communicate with us so we know it's you. And everything that gets sent directly to the email address for the radio station automatically gets or the radio show just automatically gets thrown into this into the junk folder. So you want to use that interface to ask us a question. And like I said, while you're there, check out some of the links from some of the wish list items from the Consumer Electronics Show. CNET's got a neat little video up there. CNBC or MSNBC's got some predictions on the mobile world and some of the cyber attacks that we can expect to see out there. And also some of the 10 most cynical online predictions for 08. There's some interesting links up there you want to check out. While you're there, if you're not a current subscriber to our newsletter, or if you're new to the show, you might want to think about it. If you like what you hear, you can get some suggestions and advice and news stories and things that we think are relevant every week, absolutely free. No advertising. No, it's just our way of communicating with you, warning you about things that are happening, getting up to speed on some of the newest stuff, giving you a little tip. We have we call the head whack of the week, which is basically those things that cause you to whack your head on your keyboard. Our Geek Speak of the Week, and of course our weekly advice column, which we'll talk about a little bit later. For those of you that got an iPod or a Nano or iPhone, any of those things, you know what these devices that are so popular, you know what, it's created a whole new problem for people.
You know, what's that?
You have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of CDs. You want to get those transferred into digital format so you can sync it up to your iPhone. Who's got that kind of time? Right? You're talking 8 to 10 minutes per CD.
Absolutely.
You got 1,000 CDs, right? And so it's such a daunting task, most people go, oh, I'll never get there. So we have some advice on how you might be able to get that music in over time in a more structured way versus what the question was. Somebody wanted to know if there are services out there that will actually, you can ship them your CDs and they'll convert them to MP3 for you and send you the library back. And there are a bunch of services out there. But we suggest maybe before you go through that you consider some of the suggestions we have on there. So those are all the different ways you can participate. Again, we want to talk about what the heck's going on in 2008 when it comes to technology, the kinds of things that, you know, is spam going to get better? No. Is it likely that spyware is going to become, I mean, isn't that what we deal with every day, Vince?
Absolutely.
The most common, you got to step up to the mic. The most common thing that causes problems for our customers, without fail.
Well, it's people opening emails that they shouldn't be.
Yeah, and spyware and all that good stuff that's out there. So, well, you know, we had a little trouble. All of us had a little trouble getting to the station because we weren't listening to the station to realize that there's a parade going on out there. So if you're driving around out there and didn't realize there's a parade, you might want to listen very, very closely to my man Steve Ludwig, which I should have done earlier. Steve, well, take it. Welcome back to the Computer Corner, the very last Computer Corner for the year that is 2007. Joining us now also is the parade delayed Greg Jarvis.
Here at the This Island KTAR.
Yes. Yeah. It was interesting, wasn't it?
Wow, I had to break several laws to get here.
And we appreciate that.
Well.
Ken Colburn, Greg Jarvis, and Vince Rousseau here. The data doctors du jour. You're a de facto...
Yeah.
Now, you're the common man on the street angle. You don't represent the data doctors, right?
I don't know if I could stand up to your high standards.
Yeah, okay. We're talking about the things that we think are going to impact your life in 2008. We've got lists, we've got resources on our radio show page, datadoctors.com/radio, with various predictions from various pundits from around the internet there.
You asked me to come up with a prediction.
Yes.
And I have one.
You have a prediction already.
Recently.
Segment two of the show. Let me make a note of this.
I'm showing you what this is, but for the listening people out there, I bought one of those cellular telephones.
Cellular.
Have you heard of those?
Yeah.
And first thing I did when I got it, I went straight to a movie theater, waited for the movie to start, got on the phone, and I called everyone I know. Just.
That was good.
I'm on the phone.
So you wanted to be like everyone else in the theater.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, I studied my history, and when cars were first coming out, people used to yell, "Get a horse," because, you know, sure, it was such an obnoxious technology.
Yes.
I think, this is my prediction, in the future, movie theaters will be a place where people will go to make calls.
Really?
Yes, that will become the function of a theater. Going to a movie without people chatting on phones will seem strange and empty.
I see that.
It'll start working its way into movie scripts.
Got it.
Maybe the characters on the screen will start, you know, talking back, you know, interacting as if, you know.
No, wait, I bet Gail Bass would have something to say about that, huh?
She might.
A movie critic?
Yeah.
Or
just
she does
it might not.
Movie reviews?
It might take more than a year.
So maybe not No Way, but you think that's it, huh?
I think that's the way it's going.
A communication portal.
Yep.
24 screen.
Exactly.
Well, some would suggest that's already where it's at today.
I could only get seven or eight calls in before an usher finally came by.
How about this? What do you think, Vince, is going to happen in 2008 when it comes to this little old program that Microsoft released to very low levels of hurrah? Windows Vista.
Well, I think now with the computers, as they're going to get faster and more advanced, you're going to see Vista become more widely accepted. And the reason I think that is, right now, Windows Vista's biggest problem is it's just too slow on everyone's system.
Well, there's that, and then there's the compatibility issues, obviously, and I think that's really what's scaring people. I think we'll probably start to see businesses adopt, because right now businesses they're not touching Vista with a 10-foot pole because of all the potential compatibility issues, and you got programs that only run on, you know, that you don't want to take a chance, and why spend the money? And so I think we're going to start to see more of the businesses maybe at least dip their toe.
I'm confused.
Into the Vista pool. Yeah.
This is Microsoft, right?
Yes, sir.
You're talking about a program Microsoft released?
Yeah.
And people are having problems with it?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't
that amazing?
I'm so confused.
Shocking.
Right now.
And you could probably make a prediction that it'll happen again in 08.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought Vista was just universal now. I mean, everybody.
No.
Well, no one I know personally.
Right. See, everybody.
I've never actually seen one working in a store. I've seen copies of Vista in stores, but they're, you know, screwed up.
I think many, many people that have called in here have expressed their dismay with not thinking it through and just buying a Vista machine and then dealing with the homework assignment they should have done before they bought it.
This is the smartest move Microsoft could ever have done. And I mean that.
Which part?
The smartest move of releasing Vista, because now your Windows XP, doesn't that sound really good right now? Doesn't that sound really nice?
Yeah, but I don't think that was their intent.
Oh, that's the way it worked out.
Let's see if we can start to help some folks on the line here. By the way, we've got a couple lines open, 602-277-5827. Tom, do you have any technology that changed your life in 2007?
I finally bought a high-definition TV, and that's incredible.
Isn't that? Now, the problem is when you're watching a non-high-def channel, it's really, really bad.
That's correct.
It's like you're waiting now for everybody to have a high-def signal, and so. But it is amazing, isn't it?
Yes.
What about 08? You have something on your radar for 2008?
Well, I hope they come out with PVRs or something to replace the VHS recorders and things like that.
Well, well, TiVos have been around for quite a while, and depending upon who you're provider is, whether it's cable or satellite, most of them now have DVRs built into the tuners.
Yeah, I don't like these recurring costs and things like that, so I like the over-the-air stuff. And
well, you know, you can create a Windows-based DVR that would not have those recurring costs.
Yes.
So, I mean, there's some issues or some items there. So real quick, before we go to break, let's tease the world on your question, and when we come back, we're going to answer it for you.
Well, my question really is how many tuners can I put in a PC? What is the bandwidth of, what, PCI Express? And, what kind of things can I, you know.
How loaded up, how crazy. Yeah, how crazy can you get as far as being able to put all these extra pieces and parts and stuff in, huh?
That's right. And still get I need a video card that has HDMI interface.
Sure.
That kind of stuff.
All right. Well, hang tight. We're gonna delve into that question. Actually, what we're going to do is we're going to back up and see, what are you trying to accomplish? And then we'll go through and try to give them some solutions. So hang tight there, Tom. Mary, you do as well. And those of you on hold, we're coming up on a news break. When we come back, it's the Computer Corner, looking at 2008. What's on your radar? Let's talk about it. And welcome back to the Computer Corner, where we're trying to get jiggy with it. What do you think? Quit dancing, though.
It's about time.
Yeah, don't. Greg, no dancing. We're talking about technology, as we do every weekend here, and we're specifically talking about some things that we think you might see in 2008 when it comes to technology. A lot of the indications are we're going to see a lot of the greening of technology in 2008. You know what I mean by that?
Flowers?
Flowers, yes.
Okay.
Organic. No, the power-saving kind of green, you know, the whole greening of the world where we use environmentally friendly carcinogens.
There was a website I saw that had color palettes that use less electricity for making your websites, and that made me smile.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pushing it.
They were that, you know, like, use these palettes because they don't use as much electricity as your regular screens.
Well, one of the things on this week's newsletter is actually the fact that these beautiful flat panel screens that everybody's just loving and mm-hmm. enjoying, they actually use more power than the old tube-type televisions.
Well, I can't even imagine that.
And plasmas, I guess, use the most
uh-huh.
of all of them. So if you're a greener, if you're a tree hugger, and you're looking for a big screen TV, which probably is a
yeah
maybe on opposite ends of the scale there. But if you're,
do you think eco-friendly people just like look at a tree all day? That's yes. what they do for entertainment.
No, they don't look at it. Give it a big hug.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify.
We are all green in one way or another. I mean, we all do care about the environment. We all do. It's just there are different levels, right? Mm-hmm. So if you are interested in knowing. That's, again, one of the things. If you're a subscriber, you get that information absolutely free in your inbox. And if you're not, then you can go to our website, go to the Free Help Center, and you'll see the archives of our newsletter and learn lots and lots. If you're new to the computer world, then that's a great way to learn lots of stuff. Mm-hmm. Is go back and look at all of our old newsletters and subscribe and read very carefully every line that we publish every week. Right, Greg?
Awesome.
All right. Before we went to break, we were talking to Tom. Tom's got this incredible desire to create this machine that will pretty much do anything and everything when it comes to recording video and audio and all that. Is that right, Tom?
Pretty much.
Yeah, so you want to not go the traditional route with like the TiVos or the DVRs that your cable company or the satellite company where they charge you every month to be able to use it. You want to build a machine, a PC of some sort that'll basically allow you to do that. And you can.
You are like Frankenstein, Tom. You are tempting the gods.
Well, we'll find out.
I look at a $400 Blu-ray disc drive and two or $300 TiVo, and I want a couple of those. And the price point might be right that you buy a PC and you have all those.
Well, you can. Windows has a version, Windows Media Edition, that is designed specifically to do that. And supports that. So what you'd want to do is first decide, are you going to do this with a traditional operating system like Windows, or are you going to go off into, say, Linux or some of those other distributions that are out there, other operating systems you could use mm-hmm. as the platform, because that's going to determine a lot about your hardware and your software. So you probably want to think that through and do some research on which platform do I want to use. Are you familiar with Linux at all?
A little bit.
Okay, so if you are the type of person that likes to learn and is not afraid of a challenge and those kinds of things, you know, there's a huge community of people out there that can help you build exactly what you want based on that operating system. And then there's all kinds of people out there that are doing similar things with the Windows operating system. So that's the first decision you'd have to make. The second would then be, once you've decided on that, do your homework on all the technology that it's going to take and the hardware that's going to give you what you want, you know, allow you to accomplish the kinds of things you want to do. So one of the websites that I strongly recommend you go and visit and do some research on is, are you familiar with Tom's Hardware?
Yes.
Okay, so that's a great site to learn about these very specific components that you're going to be interested in. Okay. Motherboards, video cards, that kind of thing. The only concern I have with taking this path of building a machine that does all of this, especially if it's on the Windows platform, is, you know, you're still dealing with that operating system that can always crop up there and kind of bite you. That's a level of complexity that you're going to introduce that does not exist when you do these standalone devices.
Oh, okay.
So from a complexity standpoint, it's going to be a lot easier to manage if you go with the traditional route where you're buying the separate components and they all do what you want them to do. Another advantage is that, you know, if you've got multiple TiVos and you have multiple drives and all that, if one device goes down, it's not like the whole thing went down. Whereas if everything is in one PC and something goes wrong, you know?
I understand.
Yeah. So there's a lot of issues along that line that you probably want to really think through. I understand what you're trying to accomplish, you know, by doing this and avoiding those ongoing costs because, they you know, over years, that's a lot of money, right?
Yes.
But at the end of the day, you know, if you're going to look back and go, you know, I should have, you want to be careful of that. I only bring that up because I've had a lot of people, friends, family, customers that have committed to this kind of technology, PC-based, and it's not as intuitive. It's not as easy to use, especially if you have are you the only one in the household that's going to be doing this?
Yes.
Okay, so that makes it easier. But if you're in a household where you have a very technically savvy man and a wife that's just wants to use the remote and make it work, and then the kids come in, you know, that adds to the complexity. So those are all things that you want to really kind of take into consideration before you make your commitment. But I would start with which operating system. And Vince, you got some suggestions as well?
Well, I was just going to throw down that not all PVRs are subscription-based. I have, for example, a Toshiba at home that I purchased. It was about $400, and it records TV without any sort of subscription, and that would be a good option for you, too.
Now, these are high-definition signals?
You know, I saw releases. I think at the last CES they had some high definitions coming out, but I'm not sure if they're available yet or not.
Yeah, this segment's continuing to grow. The TiVo's not the only one in the space. I mean, they're clearly the leader, but there are a lot of other companies coming to market with DVRs that will do things that are different than TiVo. TiVo's based on that subscription. Some of these other folks are going to do things. You know, Microsoft's operating system, the Windows Media Edition, does not require a subscription either. So there's more of those kinds of things. And again, if you start to search the Linux world, because that's a lot of those set-top boxes and things run on Linux, so you can hack them, and there's all kinds of stuff you can do to get past or go, you know, bypass some of the other traditional structured processes there. That's what I'm saying. Because you want to do something so complex, take your time. Really do your homework. You know, post some questions in various forums. Go look at Tom's Hardware. Do as much homework as you can so you make a good, solid decision so that you don't look back and go, I wish I'd have known that before I did this. Because that's typically what happens in these cases.
Okay, so, I appreciate your help.
Hey, no problem. I know we didn't give you very specific guidance on this, but you really got to answer those big questions before you start delving into the specific components. So good luck with that, and tell us what you do.
Okay.
All right? Sometime in 2008, we'll get a report back from Tom. Thanks, Tom.
All righty.
Appreciate you chiming in with that. Where are we at here? I mean, you know what? We have time for there's something about Mary. And Mary's on the line with us. Mary, you have something that you'd like to share with us about Vince.
Yes, I would. Hi, Vince. It's Aunt Mary.
Aunt hey there, Mary. His first time on the air, and there we go.
Yes. Well, as Vince knows, I am not technology-minded at all. And Vince helped me get a computer. And just this month, I am now on the Internet.
So this is your first experience with what the stuff that we talk about every week?
Absolutely.
And what do you think of this world that you're just now discovering?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know how I got along without it. It's absolutely fabulous.
So the lesson you're sharing with our listeners is, A, Vince is a pretty cool guy.
Oh, he's fabulous.
He's blushing right now.
Yeah. And he's cute, too.
He's cute and he's cool. All right. And if you've been kind of thinking about getting into this world, or you've been thinking about getting online for the first time, you think about getting your first computer, you're telling them what?
I'm telling them that they have to go see Vince because he will walk them through it and he will make it so easy that it just automatically happens.
Bigger picture, you're encouraging those that are on the fence, don't keep waiting, just do it. Make the leap.
Yes.
Get into this
technology.
Go
ahead and do it and don't be afraid of it.
So what's the most exciting thing that you've learned since you've gotten online? What's the thing that's, like, just the most amazing thing to you?
Oh, gosh. Just being able to get information just, like, immediately. You know, you think of a question. Okay, Google it.
Exactly.
You get an answer immediately.
And you know how many people take that for granted these days?
Well, I'm starting to now also.
It doesn't take long, does it?
Absolutely not.
And you wonder, how the heck did we do this? How did civilization progress to this level without this level of just instantaneous gratification of everything?
You're exactly right. So. You're exactly right. So yeah. It's been fabulous. And now the next thing that he's going to help me with is a theater system, a high-definition TV in my family room.
Oh, so you're just going to go from the Dark Ages to Leader of the Pack.
We just got her on the big leap. She went high-definition in her bedroom the other day.
Oh, there you go. Well, you know what? 2008 sounds like it's going to be a great, great technology year for you as well, Mary. Thanks for chiming in.
It will. Thank you very much. And Vince, I think you are raising to all those standards that they're giving you. You're fantastic.
Wow. Thanks for calling and embarrassing him, too. That's kind of fun.
Well, that's what ants do, right?
There you go. All right. Thanks, Mary.
All righty. And thank you.
Happy New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Opens up a line at 602-277-5827. It's the hotline for any other relatives of Vince that want to call in.
It's the family reunion.
It's just the family that, you know, just they're going to reach across the radio and pinch his cheeks on the air.
Aw.
He's such a cutie.
That is adorable. You are beet red right now. Boy, Vince.
Or, you know, any old girlfriends, anybody. 602-277-5827. It's the embarrassed Vince show, segment of the hour. When we come back from this next break, we want to talk some more about some of the things that we're going to see in 2008. And, of course, answer your questions and calls, 602-277-5827. I suppose I ought to go check the email box as well. Jared's got a great question I think a lot of people have, and that's, I got all this old music and audio. How do I get this stuff on my old audio cassettes and whatever? How do I get that into the computer as a digital file, like an MP3 file? How do I do that?
You can't.
Yes, you can. You know how you do it?
I can't.
You listen to this show. And you know how else you get smarter about driving around parades?
Yeah, how's that?
You listen to Steve Ludwig.
Awesome.
Which we did not do, did we?
No.
Steve, help the folks out there. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. We're talking about technology in 08 and actually 07 as well. What was the technology that changed your life in 2007 or made some minor impact on you in 2007? And more importantly, what do you have your eye on in 2008? What are you thinking about in 2008 when it comes to technology?
Flying
what
cars.
Would you, flying cars?
Still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something that you could actually acquire? Something you could actually be physically capable of owning in 2008?
I think my cell phone I'm happy with, but it's too small. I need something more ostentatious to let people know. I wear it around my neck,
yeah.
But even then, I'm afraid some people don't know.
That you have a cell phone?
That I have a cell phone.
Well, you could go get one of those old Motorola 3000 bricks. Remember those big things with a big antenna? It looked like a rubber ducky antenna.
I actually saw one that is actually like a 1950s model phone with a little curly phone cord that you just carry around with you, and I think I need to upgrade to that.
You're going
to
get on that. Now, you did buy what's called a smartphone, did you not? It does more than just make phone calls.
Oh, that's true.
It takes pictures.
It does.
Does it have any kind of email capability?
It actually does.
But you're not using it.
I actually do.
You do?
I didn't want to tell you this.
That's impressive.
It breaks away from my persona as the idiot on the data doctors, but yes.
That would never.
It's got a little pocket PC on it, and I can go on the interwebs. On the inner tubes.
Inner tubes.
It's a series of tubes, so now it's the inner tubes.
Well, one of the predictions that many people are making is that phones are going to be smarter. Duh.
Well, smart.
The transition from most people having a phone that primarily is a phone the iPhone obviously is far more than just a phone.
Uh-huh.
Does a whole lot of other things. In fact, most people would say it does all the other stuff better than it does the phone part. The phone's like the least desirable part of this thing. So before we went to break here, let's see. Let me see if we have just a quick second here to at least get started with Jared. Jared, you have old audio cassettes and things that you want to try to bring into the digital world. Is that correct?
Yes. I've got a Creative Zen, and I like that format better than the iPod because it's more versatile. But I have a bunch of audio cassettes that I've had for since I was younger and everything else. And a lot of the stuff is like out-of-date stuff. You can't simply go buy in digital format. And I'm trying to figure out a way to convert those into a digital format so that I can put them on my Zen and listen to them that way.
All right, so the big thing, the first question I'm going to have for you, and I was in the audio-video business and into audio quite a bit before I got into computers, so it's been fun to kind of span both those areas. So your cassette deck that you have, is it the traditional component that you'd have in a stereo system, or what is it?
Yeah, I mean, it's just I have a couple different stereos that I can, that I listen to with the audio cassettes. They have the RCAs on the back, and I've gotten like a converter to convert it like to USB.
Well, no, the reason I'm asking about the tape deck is the quality of the tape deck is going to have a lot of to do with what you can do with it before you start to capture it on a digital format.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have good sound, because you're going to have all kinds of noise and stuff that's just indicative of cassettes.
Yeah, if you're playing it on your car cassette player, turn your car off. That's my hint.
Really?
Because that'll help the sound quality.
That helps all the hissing and everything?
And all the wind noise and all that.
The wind noise? Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Just
No.
No, I don't have a problem going getting a new cassette thing if I need to transition it over. That's not a problem.
You may not have to, and whatever you have, you'd want to try first to see if the sound quality, because there's a dynamic range. You know, a cheap cassette deck's not going to really give you a lot of dynamic range. So when you do finally get all this stuff done, it's going to sound horrible.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not going to sound anything like what you currently have on your Zen. So you
correct.
So from this is just the managing expectations portion of the discussion. It's like, because a lot of people don't think about that. They go through all the hassle, they do all this, and then they get this recording that's just not that great, and so they'll never listen to it.
Sure.
Yeah. So when we come back, we're going to do an inventory of all the stuff that you already have and what you're going to need that you don't have to be able to do this, because it's really not that complicated. And we'll go down that list to see what you have, what you don't have, and give you the recommendations on how to get that done. So if you don't mind waiting, I apologize for stretching you through a couple of breaks, but we'll get to you here and get you what you need. Those of you that have old vinyl, what we're going to talk to Jared about applies to you as well. It's pretty much going to have the same components and the same process that you go through, that you may have all this stuff laying around the house, that if you just go and get a simple cable and some free software.
All that for an old Meatloaf cassette, huh?
You never know.
Yeah.
No, Meatloaf you can get in various digital formats. So.
Really?
When we come back, we're going to have more predictions
digital
about
Meatloaf.
The attacks that are looming in 2008. What's coming after you from a technology standpoint? Stay tuned. It's the Computer Corner. The Data Doctors are in the house.
You touch a key, and it completely hard freezes the system.
Nice!
I'm hijacked.
Ding, 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 ding. We got a winner.
It only does this when it starts up.
Never turn the computer off, then.
You can trust no one, especially people that you think you can trust.
Except for us.
Right. You can trust us.
We want others to learn from your pain.
Let me tell you what my dilemma is.
Let's do that.
Does your computer bite? Has your hard drive gone floppy? It's time to call the Computer Corner on News Talk 92.3 KTAR. Now in the Computer Corner, here are the Data Doctors.
And welcome to hour number two of 3 hours, an expanded edition of the Computer Corner this fine afternoon, the very last Computer Corner for 2007.
You know, I think in 2008, Ken, you should work on becoming more interactive.
In what sense?
It's the big thing.
Is it?
Everything's interactive.
We're actually playing with some streaming video stuff where if people really, really, really love us, they could actually watch us talk.
I asked you once about 8 or 10 years ago,
yes,
what does the word interactive mean? And you said, it means nothing.
It means nothing. No, yeah. It means you're acting inter... No, you're... No.
I mean, couldn't your toaster be interactive?
Oh, it could, absolutely. Sure. Anything could be interactive. No.
Okay.
Yes. Before we went to break, we were actually
helping Jared.
Trying to accomplish something constructive.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to actually get there.
Jared, I have a really important question for you. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay. What is it that you have on cassette? What music do you have on cassette that you cannot find on CD?
Just stuff that I used to listen to back in high school, junior high, that is
Winger?
Not...
Winger.
Is it Winger?
No.
Come on, fess up.
Because you can get Winger on iTunes.
Oh, you can?
Yeah.
It's a lot of my techno and different old rap kind of stuff, music that I used to listen to back in high school.
Who are the two boys who wore the pants backwards?
That would be Crisscross.
Crisscross? Is it Crisscross?
No.
Kraftwerk?
No. That's really Kraftwerk. Now, there's some good stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I think what you're trying to say is heck no to techno.
I just want to know what it is that...
Yeah,
that...
Jared, you have to understand, Greg is somewhat of an obscure music guy. I mean, he really has probably the most extensive obscure music collection I've ever seen.
I don't think of it as obscure.
Oh, it's obscure.
Okay.
Yeah.
His own museum, huh?
So he's probably fishing for new content.
Yeah, really. What's the new stuff from 1976 that I don't have yet?
Da-da-da. All right, so let's go down the list of things you're going to need to be able to get this to work.
Alrighty.
A, you're going to need a cassette deck of some sort that's got some form of output, what's called line-level output. They're RCA jacks, those red and white jacks.
Yeah,
on the
red
back.
And white ones.
Yeah, okay. Those are known as RCA jacks. You're going to then need a cable that will take those RCA jacks, and usually it's a Y cable, so it's got the two plugs that plug into the back of the cassette, and then it changes into a 3.5 millimeter or eighth inch mini plug that plugs into your sound card on your computer.
Okay.
So far, so good?
Yeah.
You have to identify the line in on your sound card, because you have to plug it into, there's a specific jack that you have to plug it into in order for this audio to go through. The preference would be to have a tape deck that you could vary the output. In other words, you could change the volume at the cassette deck through those line level. It's not a very, real common feature, but that would give you a little more control. It's not critical, but it just gives you another way to control the amount of sound that's coming out, or if it's too much, back it down a little bit. Once you have that, I mean, all computers have sound cards. All computers have these inputs. So really, if you have a cassette deck, all you need is this cable that most people don't have.
Correct.
And if you have that, then you have all of the hardware you need to at least get the audio transferred over.
Now, should he push the Dolby button?
Well, again, that's that the quality of the tape deck. There are different types of noise reduction systems, so you're going to want to test with and without the noise reduction, because you can do the noise reduction either through the tape deck itself, or you can say, you know what, I'm going to leave it wide open, and then I'm going to work with the audio afterwards. Once it's digitized, then I'm going to get in there, which you probably have more control over the audio after the fact.
Where would you find one of those cables that go for that?
Radio Shack generally is the easiest place to find it, but any of the electronic stores that are out there,
okay,
they should have that.
And is there a specific program that you need to run with that?
Well, that's what, okay, Windows has a sound recorder built into it, and it'll record everything into what's called a WAV file. So there's no compression, there's no nothing, it's just raw. So depending upon, you know, if you're trying to be an audiophile and try to get the purest sound possible, then while you're transferring, you don't want to do any compression. If you're really not that, you know, you're not going to be that esoteric about this stuff, you can get a piece of software that will actually transfer it or convert it real time and compress it into MP3 format, which is what you eventually want to get it to, right?
Correct.
To be able to put it on your Zen.
Yes.
Okay? So I don't recommend you use the sound recorder because it's real basic and doesn't have a whole lot of stuff. There's a free program that I've always loved as just a regular playback piece of software. It's called Winamp. You familiar with that?
No, I'm not.
Okay, so if you just go to winamp.com, W-I-N-A-M-P,
okay,
you can download the program for free. Now, in its native state, it doesn't have the recording capabilities that you're going to be looking for. So if you look in the plugins section, You can find all kinds of things that you can add to Winamp. And the nice thing is that this is all free.
Okay.
And people that come up with stuff for Winamp, they publish it up there, and you can download their plugins for free, including, like, noise reduction plugins. I mean, there's all kinds of things you can get that will allow you to, I mean, you can turn this stuff into ringtones. I mean, it's crazy. So there's, like, this huge community of people that love audio that have created these plugins for Winamp.
Awesome.
Okay? So, And if you don't like that, or if you want to go with a more straightforward recording program, there's Goldwave. There's a bunch of them out there that will allow you to record. So I'm going to give you a web address to use to find a bunch of these free and low-cost programs. It's called a website called Snap Files, S-N-A-P. S as in Nancy.
Mm-hmm.
S as in Nancy.
S as in...
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm putting two thoughts together and taking the middle out. S as in Sam, N as in Nancy. A as in Apple, P as in Paul. Snapfiles.com.
Okay.
And everything up there is you can download for free. Some of it will only run for 30 days. Some of it will be completely free. Okay, so this what they call trialware, or some people call it begware. they beg you for money after you've used it. But the nice thing is, you know, if you're really going to get into this thing, you can download these things and try them to figure out which one you want to use. It's try before you buy kind of thing.
Which one works the best?
For you, yeah, for your needs, right. Because there may be a bazillion features in there you don't care about.
Sure. true.
So there's a lot of programs out there. So you can search Google, you can go to Snap Files, but there's a lot of software out there that you probably want to look at. See which one's really going to conform to what you want. Go take a look at all the plugins and all the options for Winamp. You know, just decide which way you want to go with that. But once you do it, just take one recording and experiment with it over and over and over again until you get it exactly the way you want it and you know how all the settings are. Then go through and do your big recordings.
Yep, I will do that. Like I said, I'm just a first-time listener, first-time caller, and you guys have been very cordial and informative, so I appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate your patience holding through a couple of breaks. Hopefully it was worth all the wait.
Yeah, I've been trying to find out everybody I talked to. They're like, Ken was saying earlier, you can't do it. Well, like, nobody knows how to do it. Nobody knows how
And actually, on that same note, there's a couple of other options. If you have, a lot of people have long play records, they have vinyl records. Mm-hmm. The problem with that, you can't just plug that in with this cable I was talking about because the signal coming out of the record player is too low, and so the recording level is going to be really bad. So you have to get an amplifier to amplify the sound up to a level that the computer can actually use it. So check that out, and then there's some other resources as well. So, Jared, I'm going to let you go. Appreciate you calling. Appreciate you asking that question, and I think a lot of other people had that same thing. We're going to go to the traffic report. When we come back, we're going to tell you more ways to deal with that old audio. Mm-hmm. Steve.
Hello.
Hey there.
Tell you what, guys.
You're listening to the Computer Corner. Data Doctors are in the house, talking technology, answering your questions at 602-277-5827. We do have one extra hour technology talk as Dr. Art Mullen's taking a small hiatus, so we're going to fill that hour.
You know, we were talking off air, and I'm just going to bring it up. Pat McMahon is so cool.
Yes, he is.
That's all I wanted to say.
Okay.
Just wanted to make that public.
Okay,
I feel bad for the youth of today.
I have no idea who that is.
Yeah,
I know.
And Vince.
It's just...
We'll fill Vince in.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's been a huge part of my education in the media world, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's been phenomenal. Hey, by the way, do you know how to create a desktop shortcut?
Yes.
In Windows?
Yeah.
But can you create one that when you click on it, it launches the browser and goes to some website that you want it to go to, like, say, your bank or whatever, so you don't have to, like, open it up and type in your bank's address. You just click on this icon on your desktop and...
No, because that's not possible.
Sure is.
What?
Read the newsletter. That's one of the tips in this week's newsletter.
Oh, I got to sign up for that.
If you're not a subscriber, like Greg, no commitment over here.
That's like 10 years of that same gag of me like, newsletter?
What? Newsletter, yeah. DataDoctors.com, click on the free help center, and you will see on the right-hand side where you can subscribe if you so desire, or if you just want to see what the heck we're talking about, you can look at the archives of those newsletters.
So I can make an icon on my desktop. I click it. It'll go straight to Boing Boing, for instance.
Whatever you'd like.
Okay. Yeah,
whatever flips your bick.
Boing Boing.
Bing Boing Boing Boing.
Bing Boing.
How do you spell that?
B-O-I-N-G, B-O-I-N-G.net. It's, go there. You'll love it.
Okay. And, you know, you have a movie suggestion also. Don't want to talk about it now, but later on, don't let me forget to...
All right.
I want to read off that movie. But we were talking to Jared about audio cassettes, and then we transitioned into talking about vinyl, right? You can do the same thing where you can transfer that old vinyl. But with that, and, I mean, my column this week is somebody asking, I got this huge library of CDs. What, you know, how do I get this into my computer? I don't have the time to do all this. Is there a service out there that does that? There is a service for audio cassettes. There's a service for vinyl. There's a service for CDs. Any of those that you want to have, any of those analog medias or any of those different formats transferred into a MP3 file format so that it can be used on an iPod or a Zen or whatever it is, there are lots and lots of companies that will do that. I would caution you in doing business with somebody like that you got to ship this stuff across the country unless you do your homework with these companies, because there's shipping issues, there's the insurance, and what happens if something gets broken or lost or stolen.
This would not be for, you know, making a copy of my cassette of Steely Dan Asia, for instance. That would not probably be cheaper just to buy that on.
Correct.
Okay.
Well, the CD company, the companies that do the CD transfer, in volume you can get it down under $1 a CD that they charge you, and then they put it back on like a DVD and they send it. I mean, it's a neat service. And if you have a huge library, it might be worth it. But, I mean, if you have 100 CDs,
gotcha.
It's probably going to be $100, $150.
This would just be for stuff that's not available on MP3 already, probably.
Or if you just don't want to go through what we talked about, where I got to get this thing and plug in this cable and do all this and record this. I don't want to go through that. There are services. So what I would recommend for anybody that wants to use a service that does that, obviously use Google to find them, but look for local companies that have a physical presence where you can walk in, you can look around, you can say, okay, this looks like a business that's been around for a while, do some homework on it, and not have to worry about the shipping part of it. And, you know that it's a higher likelihood it's a legitimate operation that's got Better Business Bureau track record, that kind of thing. You can research it, go look at the place, as opposed to taking a chance on somebody you found on the internet. You don't know anything about them. They have an address somewhere, and you ship everything off. And
it could be like a scam to get a whole bunch of old Adamant records.
Exactly.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah, no.
They're going to get my old Men at Work.
Well, you just don't know what's going to happen. Not that I'm not saying that any of these companies are scams, but it is. I mean, look at all the complexity involved. You got to package the stuff. You got to insure it. You got to do all this stuff. So if you're going to find a service to do this work for you, try to find a physical location near wherever you're listening to this show. Look in Google Local. Put the search condition, so transfer LP to MP3, and then put your city behind it, which will then give you a higher likelihood of finding somebody that's in your city.
How'd you get that smart?
Doing this show with you? No.
I have lots of questions.
And we have lots of answers. We have Randy and Dr. Andy and Beth and some others here on the line that we're going to get to as soon as this next break concludes. We are talking about technology in 2008. We'll get back on that a little bit later. And more importantly, when we come back, the ever-popular, the most important part of the show, the Geek Speak of the Week, will be after this next break. So Greg, Ken, and Vince will be back. The Data Doctors are here to help. 602-277-5827. And welcome back to the Computer Corner, talking technology, 2008. One of the things that everybody seems to be in agreement on is the attacks on all of us collectively on the internet will continue to accelerate. They're going to find new ways to try to get at you.
Are you talking about like a flame war?
No.
Like on my blog where someone says, you're stupid.
No, although I'm sure that might accelerate this year for you.
Dang it.
But it's more the attempts to try to get into your computer for any number of reasons. The end of the line where most of the money is to steal your identity, from the comfort of their home in Bulgaria, which is what they can do. They can create websites and emails and all kinds of stuff that look kind of benign and no big deal. And while you're viewing that message, while you're clicking on that link, while you're visiting that website, they can perform what's called a drive-by download, which means they're installing something in your computer, unbeknownst to you. And then when you leave, you think, okay, whatever, and you move on. And now this little piece of software is tracking everything you're doing, keystrokes and waiting for you to go to your bank and those kinds of things. But it's been around for a while.
If you have like a virus protector,
It won't help you.
Huh?
Yeah. Those kinds of things, they know how to get around that by getting you to click on something.
Uh-huh.
And so it's like you're allowing something to happen to your computer, so your virus program a lot of times will be kind of hands-off. Or they already know how Norton Antivirus is going to react to something, so they reverse engineer it and figure out how to sneak past the antivirus software. Or a lot of them actually, first thing they do when you click on the link is disable your antivirus software. Your anti-spyware. All that stuff. They can just come right after you. See, they have the upper hand, the bad guys, because they know what we're using. They know the tools we're using. So they can work and work and work until they figure out how to, get past the tool. And then they launch that attack. And then the virus company, the antivirus companies go, oh, we have this new exploit. So then they have to patch it. And then, it's like a chess match.
Mm-hmm.
So phishing, which is something we've all seen in our email, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where somebody says, you need to go fix your PayPal account, or you need to go fix. And I think a lot of us are getting better at identifying those things as being, okay, I don't have a PayPal account, so I can't have a problem. I don't have anything on eBay, so there's no. They're just trying. That's just a general. They're just throwing the message out there, hoping that some small percentage of people actually have a PayPal account fall for it. There's a term called spear phishing, where they, if they know you do have a PayPal account, or if they do know that you have an eBay account, or if they do know you have a Bank of America, Wells Fargo account, whatever, then they'll send that phishing attempt to you. So you might get caught off guard because, wait a minute, I have a Wells Fargo account.
Uh-huh.
That's a Wells Fargo message. It looks like it. It's got the logo. It's got everything. Looks legitimate. I'm not paying attention. I click on the link. I update my stuff so that nobody can get into it,
mm-hmm.
and they got you. So spear phishing will be on the rise, and more attacks on these. You know, the fact that you have a smartphone now?
Yeah.
I have a smartphone. I have a BlackBerry. You have your pocket PC.
Uh-huh.
So the more people that have these, the more that the bad guys are going to say, okay, now it's time to start launching attacks on smartphones because they can do so much more than just a regular cell phone. So that's also going to be coming in 2008. Huh?
There should be heavy fines and jail time.
There is, if you can catch them.
Okay.
So, with that, we have a line open, 602-277-5... What happened there?
That's the sound of a phone line.
602-277-5827. Fat finger syndrome. Doc, did I hang up on you, or is it still there?
No, I'm here.
Okay. Apologize. You had a question about getting a Windows XP laptop. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah. Just a basic laptop. My daughter's starting at ASU, and I just want something basic that's going to do document processing, stuff like that, kind of thing a student would need.
Okay.
But nothing fun.
No gaming, yeah. Right? No gaming?
Well, we've got PCs in the house. We've got, PS2s, PS3s. There's no real reason to run games on something like that.
Okay, and this is going to be primarily used while she's at school so she can be around campus and plug into the network at the campus and all that, right?
Right, okay. And also in the house,
right.
Where I've got a wireless network.
Okay, come home and connect. Okay, so under most circumstances, and you and I had a brief discussion off the air, but in most circumstances, sticking to XP is a pretty safe bet. But in this case, it's actually worth considering going to Vista because there's not a lot of interoperability between what she's going to be doing. She's kind of a self-contained network, if you will. Right? So she's,
yep.
And clearly Vista is going to be supported by your home network and the college's network. So the pros and cons to this are, obviously, at some point in the future, you'll have no choice, I'll have no choice, she'll have no choice. Vista's going to be it. They're going to stop supporting Windows XP. That's going to be, you know, years away. It's not anything, you know, it's not pending. And in fact, there's predictions that they're going to extend that because so many people are saying, I'm afraid of Vista. But in her case, because she's not doing these things, you know, it might be worth considering because, you know, she's going to be learning this new operating system, which from a general education standpoint is a good thing anyway.
Yeah, but isn't Vista only good for, like, pictures and video files?
Oh, no. Vista's actually from a security level. It's actually more secure. So it would be a more secure way to operate in that. What's scariest about this is that university environment. Because there's a lot of perpetrated acts in that environment, both by the students and from the outside. Because they're all connected to each other and they're all mm-hmm. sharing things and doing these things. There's a whole lot more security built into the operating system in Windows Vista to kind of protect her from herself, if you will. So there's some advantages at looking at that. The safe bet is obviously go to Windows XP. So you'll have to kind of really look at that and do some research and make some decisions as to whether you want to go that way or not. Because if you go to Vista, you got a lot more choices. XP, you're going to find very few people still selling Windows XP. Some companies will order it for you. But the key is to anybody that's looking for a Windows XP machine, whether it's a laptop or a desktop, if you're going to a website or you're talking to somebody, talk to the business side of the organization. Go to the business side of the website. Because businesses, by and large, are still saying, no thanks, we're going to stick to Windows XP. Mm-hmm. So the companies that sell machines to businesses typically have a lot of XP-based offerings for those business customers.
That's absolutely right, because I run an IT department, and we're all XP.
Right, and you're not going to even consider it, so they know that they're going to lose that business. But that's the trick for the consumer that wants more of a selection of XP. If you can't find it from your favorite vendor, then you know that's the other trick, is to start talking to the business side or start looking at the business side of the website to see if there's more selection for Windows XP-based systems.
Right, and it's all a matter of cost as well, because obviously when you go to the big stores, they do the sort of base-end computers, the bottom end of the range. They're a lot cheaper.
Well, they're cheaper on the surface. Look very, very close, though, at what they're including and what they're not including. a very common thing that happens, and you don't want this to happen to your daughter. Microsoft Office, you know, Word, Excel, PowerPoint, all that stuff, it's on the machine that you bought, but it's a trial version. 90 days after you buy, you activate the machine, it stops working unless you pay Microsoft like $300.
Okay.
Or $200 or whatever it ends up being. The antivirus software, 30, 60, 90 days. There's different. See, the low-end machines, in order to get the price down, they pull a lot of these tricks. So be on the lookout for those things. Because the
that's true. It's $125, I think, to get the additional Microsoft Office.
Right, and the version of Office that's going to come on new computers today is the newest Office 2007, which looks and works completely different than the version of Office that most people are used to.
Right.
So because your daughter's going to school, what I would suggest is don't buy any productivity software from whoever you buy your computer from. Have her go to the ASU bookstore and get the student discount and get the exact version that she's most comfortable with.
Okay, that makes sense.
Let's save some money there. But watch out for the antivirus, anti-spyware, all that stuff. These low-end machines are loaded with trialware. So you have these hidden costs that crop up on you 60, 30, 60 days out. You know, that if you knew that going in, you go, okay. Now, the other problem with low-end laptops, the battery life is really, really short. So
okay. You
have to buy a better battery. And so now you're adding to the cost again. You see what I mean? So these lost leader laptops especially, there's a lot of hidden costs in there that once you add it all up, you're probably better off stepping up one. Don't get that entry level, because by the time you get that entry level machine set up to where it's actually of any value, it's already what that step up price would have been, you know, without all the rinky-dink stuff.
I got you, because obviously we're looking for one that will run for 4 years, basically.
Which, if you can get a laptop to run for 4 years, you're doing really good.
Yeah. Those entry levels will not go for 4 years.
Yeah.
Most of the time, especially with all the stuff that these manufacturers are preloading in them, they're actually running behind when you open up the box. They're usually maxing out their resources and running slow already.
And they're preloaded with all this junk, and they're slow to begin with. And so it's just not a good combination. I wouldn't expect anything other than, I mean, even if you spent $2,000 or $3,000, $4,000 on a laptop, the likelihood of it actually making it through all the trials and tribulations of a college life for 4 years, I wouldn't count on it.
Okay.
You get 3 years out of it, you're doing pretty good.
So what would you say is the minimum memory?
Half a gig would be absolute bare minimum. Obviously, that's the best bang for the buck in performance, but don't get carried away. You know, you shouldn't need more than a gig for what you've explained that she's going to be doing.
Right. Most of them offer a gig.
Yeah, and that's fine. I mean, you're not getting into gaming. I mean, if she's going to get into, like, photo retouching and stuff that requires more processing power, more memory, that's a different deal. But if she's just going to be surfing the web and, you know, listening to music and watching movies and writing papers and, you know, PowerPoint presentations, spreadsheets, that kind of, those are all pretty benign tasks.
And you mentioned that there will be no problem with it connecting to my home network, my wireless network.
The Vista machine shouldn't have any more of a problem connecting than a Windows XP machine when it comes to actually making a connection to the router, you know, to be able to use the Internet. The complexity comes in when you're trying to share things back and forth between Windows XP and Windows Vista.
Right. Well, it certainly would want to share a printer, for sure.
Right. And generally speaking, it's pretty easy to do. But it does require you to know, you know, if you're the IT guy and you don't know anything about Vista and you got to integrate this thing into your home network, then that's maybe a reason not to do it. Or you're saying, okay, this is my learning time.
Right, because the other thing about being the IT guy is I'm to blame.
Welcome to our nightmare.
Yeah.
All right, well, listen, hopefully that helps you with your task at hand.
Do
your homework, and appreciate you your piping in, and Happy New Year. And with that, we're going to have a happier new year because the parade's over.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to find out where all the congestion is on the streets.
Yeah.
Even though the parade's over. Right, Steve? Hey, the pizza's here.
Woo-hoo! Man the pumps.
Are we still doing the show?
Don't tase me, bro.
Yeah, okay.
Just trying to get that in there.
Before we go any further, it's time. It is time for that most important segment of the show. The thing that really, I think most people probably tune in for this segment.
Awesome.
Exclusively.
Yeah.
Now maybe not.
It's the Geek Speak of the Week.
Yay! Every week we try to bring you a little vernacular of our technology world, or the youth of the nation creates, so that when you hear these terms, you'll have some idea what the heck people are talking about. This week's Geek Speak of the Week has little to do with technology, but has to do with the lifestyle surrounding technology. It's, the term is cheat, C-H-E-E-T, cheat.
That makes no sense.
It does. Mm-hmm. Listen and see. Cheat, it's the orange dust that coats your fingers and lips after eating Cheetos. You should not eat Cheetos while you use your computer. We have, for many years, seen keyboards that have been cheated in our shop. Pretty obvious. The amount of junk that falls out of keyboards these days when we're working on a computer clearly means there are people consuming untold numbers of things while they're computing. And it does have an impact on the keyboard.
There's a wonderful web cartoon called XKCD, which I don't think it stands for anything, but the guy just found four letters that weren't being used.
Uh-huh.
And the joke is a friend sends an email saying, okay, you want to see a cool trick? Hold your keyboard in your hand, stare at the G and the H, and cross your eyes until they become one key. Now slowly tilt it up over your head, and it shows all this junk falling into his face. And it's like, ha-ha.
Based on the fact that that guy was probably cheating as well, huh?
Basically, keyboards are disgusting.
Cheat, yeah.
I will use that, you're right.
But, you know, everybody knows somebody that eats Cheetos, right? So you'll be able to use this one in various ways.
There you go.
Yeah. Get that cheat off my papers.
Quit cheating on my board.
Yeah. By the way, the whole social networking phenomenon, the MySpace, the Facebook, all that.
Friendster,
all of it.
Uh-huh.
The fact that so many people are there on those networks will continue to accelerate. The attacks that these guys are perpetrating, the bad guys, they're going to go after social networks big time next year, because it's an easy way to get to a lot of people. You know, you got your friends, your network of friends. So if you can get one of those people infected with something, you got a very good chance of infecting all the others.
Wait a minute. Okay, so I haven't set up a MySpace. I'm still saving up for a MySpace account. I haven't bought one yet.
Sure.
But
you mean the free ones, yeah?
Huh?
Yeah.
I want to.
It was free just like the last time you said it. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. It's still free. Yeah. That's why so many people have them. Anyway, your point being, or did you have one?
I thought I had one, but now I'm just confused. Everyone talks like it's such an elite thing. I just figured it would be expensive.
Yeah. It's expensive in time, and that's another big thing that's happening, especially with our youth. They're spending an enormous amount of time on their cell phones, on instant messaging, on MySpace, on all that stuff. And it's definitely having an impact.
Think about your history. People used to say things like about rock and roll and comic books and hard drugs. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And your point being?
This is just 50 years from now, the kids of the day will be laughing about, they used to tell me not to MySpace at school, but now I texted my grandchild.
Hey, real quick, Phil.
Yes?
I want to answer your question, but I want you to ask it real quick, and then we're going to answer it on the other side.
I set up my Windows Vista account with four users.
Uh-huh.
When I want to switch from one user to the next.
It's a big pain, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, hang tight here. We're going to get back to that. Can I do it just hitting one button?
No.
Inquiring minds want to know. So, Phil, hang tight. We're going to talk about that. There's a more important discussion we need to have about profiles, because we're in the computer service business. There's stuff that people don't realize when they create a lot of multiple profiles that they should be aware of. So stay tuned for more. It's the Computer Corner. Ken, Vince, and Greg back after this.
You touch a key and it just completely hard freezes the system.
Nice.
I'm hijacked.
Ding, 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 ding. We got a winner.
It only does this when it starts up.
Never turn the computer off then.
You can trust no one, especially people that you think you can trust.
Except for us.
Right. You can trust us.
We want others to learn from your pain.
Let me tell you what my dilemma is.
Let's do that.
Does your computer bite? Has your hard drive gone floppy? It's time to call the Computer Corner on News Talk 92.3 KTAR. Now in the Computer Corner, here are the data doctors.
And welcome to hour number three of the Computer Corner. Yes, it is the Computer Corner. Dr. Art Mullen is on hiatus. We're going to cover his hour this week. So if you have a medical question, obviously, if you feel compelled to call in and ask us, we are data doctors.
Uh-huh, wrong kind of doctor.
However, we've been making up, you know, solutions to computer problems for, you know, 12 years on the air. No reason why we couldn't start with the medical side of things.
I just say, if anyone actually calls in with a medical question, leeches. That's our only solution.
Leeches. That's very progressive, very 2008.
There you go.
Before we go back to the phones, actually, no, Phil's been waiting. We're going to go to the phones. And by the way, if you have a question, comment, suggestion, you want to tell us what your big extravagant electronic purchase, you know, is going to be for 2008, any of those, or you want to tell us about the technology that made 2007 wonderful and warm and fuzzy and whatever. Any, you know, call in for any reason. 602-277-5827. 602-277-KTAR for those of you that like to spell.
Speaking of not tasing me, bro, I read about something earlier this year. Someone had made a taser gun that was disguised to look like a cell phone, which I think is a monumentally bad idea.
It could backfire, so to speak. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Could be a bad thing. All right, before we went to break, we were talking to Phil about the issue that you have four profiles, Phil, on your, is this Windows XP, Windows?
Vista,
okay. So you have four profiles, assuming you have four active users for this computer.
Yes.
And the profiles allow you each to have your own desktop and your own configuration, and everybody sets it up the way that they like it.
Yes.
And then, but to get from one profile to the other, you have to go through click yes, no, click,
start,
click.
Program, shutdowns, and it comes up to default to sleep, so you got to change it to switch user, then click OK, then, you know, you finally get the window that you can change to the user you want to be now.
You can make it a little less convoluted. By activating the fast switching, which basically gives you that switch user option quicker by one or two clicks, but it's still multiple clicks.
Okay.
To switch over.
Anything to shorten it will help.
Yeah, so you can do that in the actually, I don't have a Vista machine in front of me. Usually, if you right click on the start button, you'll see all the properties. And in there, yeah, I don't have Vista to work with here, so I can't do it from memory. But you can go through the properties, or you know what you can do is go to the control panel and go to the user section where you administer the users, and look in there. You'll see an option for fast switching.
Okay,
and that's Windows XP as well. But the bigger issue, the reason I really wanted to have this conversation, was what you do when you have multiple profiles is you're creating what's called, we'll call them virtual machines. Okay?
Yes.
Which means each one of those profiles is like a machine.
Yeah.
And the reason I want to bring that up is we're in the repair business.
Uh-huh.
People bring us the machines all the time that have 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 profiles.
Uh-huh.
And in order for us to properly service that computer, we literally, it's like servicing four different computers.
Oh.
Okay? So it's going to take us a whole lot longer because we have to clean up each one of those profiles independently.
Uh-huh. Right?
And it's going to cost you more money and time because it takes longer to get the work done.
Yeah.
So really make sure that you need all those profiles before you go down this road, especially if you're just getting started with this machine.
Well, I've got this and set up. You know, and I had my XP machine set up this way for, I don't know, a year and a half, couple of years. And, you know, I never had any issues where I had to go get that fixed. But having said that, one of the reasons I changed this machine, bought a new machine, is because the old machine, that hard drive started running. I don't know what was bogging it down, but it was deathly slow.
It was probably the operating system. Because see, the other thing is, with the four profiles you have,
yes,
any one person does something to infect the machine, usually all the profiles get infected.
Yeah.
The other thing that I find very commonly occurring, including in my own house, even though you have all the profiles, everybody kind of works out of one anyway, right? Because that's the one that's open. So they go, I just want to check my mail, or I just want, you know, whatever.
Uh-huh.
So really think about how this is going to be used, and maybe what you can do is, if you're the primary user and you have three or four other people that use the machine,
yes, that's what happens.
Create one for yourself and one generic one for everyone else.
Uh-huh.
Reduce it to two instead of four. It's just long run, if you can keep it simple. It's the zen of computing that we always preach.
Uh-huh.
Simplifying it, it simplifies everything. Backup, yeah. Everything. Yeah. So if you really don't need all those profiles, then don't use them.
Okay.
It'll also minimize the amount of time that you have to go back and forth.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So.
And are you guys, is Vista that much better than XP?
From a security stability standpoint, from a vulnerability standpoint, yes. From the user experience, that's determined by the user. So
yeah.
the biggest knock on Vista right now is it's so new and so different. All the other stuff that you want to do with the computer, your printing and your scanning and all that stuff, hasn't caught up yet. Right? So
yes.
Something you may want to do in Vista, you may not be able to because whoever wrote the program wrote it before Vista came out and they haven't come up with the update yet.
With the Vista update, yeah.
Right.
And I did hear you saying that about the security was better.
Well, I mean, all you have to do is look at Vista's been out for almost, it's coming up on a year, and the number of major patches and things that they've had to come up with, you know, major releases versus XP, which, you know, every week we see new patches being thrown out there to plug holes. So they learned a lot from XP about what to build into Windows Vista. Now, a lot of people, the security part that stops you every time and says, are you sure you want to do this? Are you sure you want to do this? A lot of people get fed up with that and they turn it off. So then that's one of the security, you know, it's like, do you want it to be more secure or more usable? Because you can't have both.
Yeah. I always love how every time they come out with a new OS, immediately we sit down, at least I do, and maybe it's because I'm old, but I sit down immediately and try and get it to work the way the old computer.
Of course.
You change everything back to the classic view settings.
Yes. Well, I mean, but change is hard, right?
It is for old people.
Well, no, I think it's change is hard for anybody, especially when it comes to something like this that you know that's just second nature to you.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you got to do something different. It's like, oh, I don't like that. I want to do it the old way. And so you don't ever learn the new way. Have you seen Office 2007 yet?
I have not. So, I heard you saying earlier with the guy that was getting the computer for his daughter for college, though, that...
Completely different.
Yeah.
It uses a ribbon system. It doesn't use the standard file menus that, like, you know, like you're used to seeing.
Uh-huh.
And it's one of those things that at first you're looking at it going, what the heck? I can't find anything. I can't do anything. And then when you start to use it and you understand why they made the changes, you know, it's more intuitive. It's more the controls are right there in front of you, but you just have to change the way you view things. And that's the same thing's going to happen in Vista.
Yeah.
And so over time, I think people get there. But it's not fun, is it?
No, change is difficult.
Change is hard. All right.
Hey,
so
I love the show. Thank you very much for your help. I've been listening for years, and I really appreciate it. And guys, I hope you had a happy holiday and a great new year.
Thank you very much, Phil, and same to you. Have a great and happy and prosperous year, and a technological one.
Thank you very much.
All right, and then obviously that will force him to have to keep calling back
mm-hmm.
and paying those wonderful compliments.
There you go.
Tearing up over here. You feeling the love, Vince?
Oh, it's
your first time on the air. And I mean, look at all this love that's coming from Aunt Mary, from Phil. It's just mm-hmm. his first time out. Obviously, you're going to have to come back. All right, so when we come back, we got more to share with you on the predictions, but also some other tips and tricks and things that generally want to listen to this show for. 602-277-5827 if you have a question. But for right now, I have a question for Steve Ludwig, and that is... when I get off the air, I got any chance of getting home?
I like that question. What time do you get out of there?
We're out at 3.
At 3. You know, you might have to hang out for at least an hour.
Oh, well.
So, they'll you know, you can clean up after a parade. There's a lot of scooping to be done out there, so.
Pass. You're listening to the Computer Corner. Yes, the Computer Corner. Dr. Art Mullen is on vacation, I guess. We're filling the hour for him, so tuning in for medical purposes. You might want to wait until next week to call in and ask those questions. If you've got a computer question, technology question, comment, prediction for 2008, anything like that, 602-277-5827 is the phone number. Or you can chime in via the mailbox, if you will, if you look at the Ask a Question link on the radio show page. I am losing it here. Help me, Greg.
I am doing as much as I can.
Sure. datadoctors.com/radio. On the right-hand side, you'll see Ask a Question, like Jim, who asks the question, how do you transfer a program file from one hard drive to a larger hard drive without the CDs, the program you want? I'm going to fill in the blanks there. So I'm going to guess that Jim's if Jim is, well, there's two things here. Jim, if you want everything that's on a smaller hard drive to be on a larger hard drive, you can buy what they call disk imaging programs. Norton Ghost is one. Help me here. What are some of the others that are?
Nero?
Imaging.
Imaging.
Yeah, the disk imaging programs that are out there.
Acronis.
There's a couple of different programs you can buy that will actually take everything that's on your 80-gig hard drive and copy it exactly the same onto a 160-gig hard drive. And if you do that, then you don't have to reinstall your programs. If you're actually going between two different computers altogether, there are programs out there that claim they can do this, where they can actually transfer the program over and the settings and all that stuff. We've tested these programs. They're hit and miss at best. Don't really recommend them, but they are out there. Or the best thing to do is actually, I mean, everybody has all their original discs, right?
Sure.
Obviously not in this case. So the cost of the imaging programs or some of these other things may be the same as buying a new copy of the software as well. So it's amazing how many people spend a lot of time and effort and will be willing to spend a lot of money to avoid having to buy the program, which generally is cheaper than going through all the hoops that they're jumping through. So just make sure and look at that, Jim, before you make any decisions on that. Hopefully that helps you with that question. I think you were on earlier as well. Okay. Back to the phones here. Let me see on there. Let's see if we can help Carol, who's got a very slow version of Outlook. Yeah?
Yes.
Now you.
It's only slow when I try to open up the first contact. After that, it goes pretty fast. My guess is what's happening, and I could be way off. I use Norton antivirus.
Yes.
And I wonder if Norton's treating my Outlook as an email program, so it's scanning everything in Outlook before it opens anything.
Well, your antivirus and anti-spyware, I mean, your antivirus program tends to scan through everything you open the first time, whether it's email or not. My guess would be that it's probably more of a configuration issue with Outlook.
Okay.
Because you're saying it's taking like 2 minutes or something?
Yeah, I timed it. It takes 2 minutes to open the first record.
Yeah, see, Outlook is designed to be an email program with an address book and contact management and all this stuff. And so one of the core components when you're setting it up is telling it how it's going to connect to the Internet.
Okay.
And if that was never done, whenever you're opening this up for the first time and hitting this, Outlook's still trying to figure out how the heck am I supposed to connect to the rest of the world.
Okay.
Okay, and because it wasn't properly configured, it has to go through what's called a timeout period.
Okay.
Where it finally figures out I give up.
Okay.
And then it stops trying to do it, and then that's why it's running. That's my guess just based on your description so far. So the thing you'd want to do is open up Outlook and go to Tools and then Email Accounts and see if there's any information in that configuration.
Okay.
Okay, because there's multiple ways that it can be configured in it. When you first installed it and opened it, it probably asked you.
Right, and I probably just...
And you didn't pay attention, you cancel, whatever.
Right, exactly.
And so now Outlook's going, but I have this unfinished business, and every time you open it, it's trying to finish that business. And
okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
So you want to go back through and check that configuration and the tools and the accounts, how you're connecting, what it's doing. The other option is, I mean, that's...
Well, how do I want to connect? If I want to connect strictly, I don't want to, like I said, I don't use it for email at all.
Right. So, I mean, you can put all the Internet connections and things in there if you want, but, I mean, it's kind of overkill to use Outlook just for, it's just an address book?
I know.
So maybe because, I mean, it's all these complex things are going to continue to happen. I mean, there's a lot of other address books out there that are probably easier to deal with. Do you have Outlook Express?
I know. Well, it's just my boyfriend uses it, and he's not real computer literate, and he likes the way Outlook looks, and he likes the way it works. So
okay.
It's easier to use Outlook than to...
Okay, well, then just go look at those configurations and make some changes. You said you have a fairly comfortable grasp of this thing. So just look in those accounts and make sure that there's not something obvious in there that the computer is going to try to resolve.
Okay.
Okay.
And you said you thought you might have another suggestion?
Well, yeah, I was going to say port it off to something else. I mean,
oh, okay.
You know what I've done in cases like this for a lot of people?
Right.
Is I export this thing and upload it into a web-based calendar program like Yahoo or something like that.
Okay.
Because then it becomes, it's not a machine issue anymore, right? It's available to that person anywhere they go.
Right.
And you never have these setup issues ever again. And
but is there a problem with once you do that is with security as far as other people being able to somehow...
Well, yeah, but I mean, who is this guy that he's such a big target?
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah, right. Technically there is, but the reality is you're one of 10 million people right. on that system. Why you?
Okay, yeah.
So, I mean, you got to look at that thing. Obviously, you have to have an Internet connection to be able to get your addresses, so
right.
you got to weigh all that stuff out, but it eliminates the backup issue, it eliminates the lost files, I mean, all that stuff.
Right.
So maybe, you know, see if that works, because that'll eliminate the issue of using a sledgehammer to kill a fly.
Okay.
All right.
That's great. Thank you so much for your help. You guys have a happy, healthy new year.
And to you as well. We've got a half an hour left. It's the Computer Corner with the Data Doctor. Stay tuned for more. Welcome back to the third hour of the final show of 2007 here at the Computer Corner. The Data Doctors du jour are Vince Rousseau and Ken Colburn and kind of Greg Jarvis.
We're not soup.
We're not soup. Oh, I think
the Data Doctor du jour.
Hey, by the way, I just want to, before we go back to the phones here, you brought a recommendation, a movie recommendation in for, really for my son,
yeah.
You said, right? You guys were hitting it off previous shows, and so the name of the movie is Fido.
Yeah,
and as I'm reading this,
a little family film.
Yeah, this is the description for those of you that have the same level of interest as Mr. Jarvis. Timmy Robinson's best friend in the whole wide world is a 6-foot-tall rotting zombie named Fido. But when Fido eats the next door neighbor, Mom and Dad hit the roof, and Timmy has to go to the ends of the earth to keep Fido a part of the family. A boy and his dog movie for grown-ups, Fido will rip your heart out. This is
and feed it to you.
And this, yeah. This is what you're going to recommend my son watch.
Well, you know, we talked when we were on the air last, and he was telling me, yeah, my dad won't let me see rated R movies. So I go to this site and this site and this site, and I see them all. Yeah.
Yeah, so you're going to encourage him to see others?
I'd rather him do it above board.
I see. There I you got go. You. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You're such a good
just influence. Trying to help out.
Yeah, okay. Fido.
Oh, and
that's your... Your recommendation of the week.
Yeah, sorry that I ratted you out there.
That's okay. Taylor?
Taylor,
yeah, if he's
sorry.
Listening, you got to rat it out. Let's go back to the phones here and see if we can help John. John, you have a very common question about the whole MP3 file stuff, don't you?
Yes, sir. I was talking about the bit rate.
Yeah.
If it matters for the quality of the music, I mean, the way it sounds.
Yeah, what the heck is that bitrate thing, dear Greg Jarvis?
Okay, bitrate is like this. Imagine you were drinking a fine wine.
Yes.
You wanted to sip it slowly so you can taste it all.
Yes.
If you gulp it, then you're just not going to appreciate it as much. Same thing with bitrate. The faster the bitrate, the lower the quality.
You mean the higher the number?
The higher the number.
The higher the quality.
The lower the quality.
No, the other way.
Really?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah. So the lower the number?
Uh-huh. The lower the quality?
The lower the quality, yeah.
So it's like the opposite of my wine tasting metaphor?
No, I think the wine metaphor was okay. You just had it slightly tweaked.
So you want a higher number?
Yes, sir. Well, here's the deal, John.
Yeah.
MP3 is a compression technology, okay? The reason the whole music industry went nuts is because what would normally have taken a whole lot of space, right, for a regular music file...
Yeah. Yeah.
Was taking 1/10 of the space because it was using what's called a compression routine. It was compressing the audio, but it was the quality. Usually when you compress audio, you lose quality.
Oh, that's what I was wondering.
Very noticeably, right?
Yeah.
So depending upon your ears and your equipment and how much space, see, that's the trade-off. You can go to a much higher bit rate, like 192 or 320, 320 or whatever you want to do, one of these really high bit rates. But that means each song is going to be quite a bit bigger, which means you're going to be able to put fewer songs on your music device.
Oh, okay.
See, so that's the trade-off. You gotta, and if you can't hear the difference, so if you really want to get into figuring out what's the best one for you, try changing the setting. Are you using iTunes?
I'm using between Raps.
So there's a set. Every one of these music programs has a setting that determines what when you rip a CD, when you're actually copying the CD from the CD player onto the computer.
Exactly.
You can change the bit rate. So try doing it with one song at 2 or 3 different bit rates. Transfer it to your music player. See if you can hear a difference. Because if you can't, forget about it.
So that has nothing to do with the speed that it's made? I thought rate means how fast it's going to be ripping from your CD to your computer.
No. The bit rate has to do with the how many bits. In other words, the more bits you're taking, the more information you're keeping, right?
But the word rate. Rate.
Yeah.
So I've been ripping all my CDs to the lowest possible one so it would go slower?
No, that's your burn speed. Like 2x, 4x.
No, it was bitrate. I was using bitrate.
Yeah, bitrate has to do with how much information it's going to throw out. So the lower the bitrate, it's throwing most of the information out. The higher the bitrate, it's keeping more bits.
Oh, I got to reburn all my CDs.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead and do that. By the way, Those of you that are dealing with this stack of CDs, the library of CDs, and you're figuring out, I mean, everybody's got these cool music players now, but now I got to get all this stuff in. My column this week gives you the step-by-step settings for iTunes and Windows Media Player, which are the most common, to set it up so that as soon as you put a new, any kind of an audio CD into your computer, these programs will automatically start to import them. In other words, you don't have to do anything other than stick the CD in and go about your business, and it'll copy that CD in for you and eject the drawer when it's done. So as kind of a background process, right, you got 50 CDs you want to get in there, just keep them next to your computer, and whenever you think of it, pop a CD in. All you have to do is just put it in with these settings that I wrote in my column, right? So over time, instead of sitting there all at once trying to get 50 CDs in, just over time you'll get them in. And then from then on, any new music that you buy, you just stick it in, and automatically imports it into your iTunes or your Windows Media Player.
Oh, wow, thank you.
Cool stuff, huh, John?
Well, thank you, sir. Really appreciate it.
You bet. Did that help? Did the confusion clear up, and Greg's confusion not confuse you?
Well, no. See, I've been out of computers now for over 20 years, so.
It's going to take somebody much better than Greg to confuse you, is what you're saying.
Oh yeah. Well, like I said, after 20 years of doing computers.
Yeah. Yeah. But play around with that, because if your ear can't hear the difference, you know, it doesn't matter.
Well, that's because, you know, I've heard different things about people say, well, you should go in slower speed, faster speed.
Yeah, and see, that's the rate. Rate means speed. Rate.
Or, you know, a different rate, yeah.
Yeah, the bit rate. Yeah, the bit rate. 192 is where I think a lot of people kind of end up. They want it to sound a little better than the 128, which is typically the default.
See, like I said, because a lot of mine is between 196 and 160, 196 is what a lot of mine automatically goes to.
Yeah, well, that's great. That's higher than normal, which means each song's a little bigger than it would be. So what you may want to do, I mean, I don't know if you have one of these, is it an iPod or what is it?
No, I have made by SanDisk.
Okay, but if you're getting into a situation where you're running out of space all the time, you don't have enough to, you know, you have more music than will fit on there.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons you might want to kick it down to 128, because if you don't hear any difference, you'll be able to get more songs on there.
Okay. Well, that's cool.
All right. And if you have really bad hearing, you can probably go down to 64-bit, right?
Ooh,
still not hear a difference and get twice as many songs on there. I mean, it's really up to you, right?
All right. Well, thank you.
All right. Good luck, John. And Happy New Year.
Terrible. Okay, my iPod I'm holding right here in my hand is supposed to hold 15,000 songs.
Yes.
I've got about 30,000 songs on it. All I can hear on them is drums and bass, though, because I set the bit rate down to like 16. Because I figured, you know, I want it to go slow to copy everything down, and I figured that was just the best you could do, because 16 is the lowest you can.
I think learning from others' pain, I think, is the whole reason we're here, and I appreciate you sharing your pain with the whole world. And
I have over 200 days worth of music on here, and all you can really hear are the drums and the bass.
This is why it's good not to have a life, because then you got plenty of time. You can go and.
How many CDs I have to reburn on this?
Yes.
Why don't you go rate? Distance equals rate times time. Rate is the speed. Rate.
We'll join Greg in his internal discussion later on in the show. Right now, we're going to talk to Rob.
Hi.
Who has a question about building a mega PC for Photoshop. Is that correct?
Yeah, Photoshop and also Adobe Premiere Pro.
Okay, so you're going to get into video editing and that kind of thing.
Yeah, be careful video editing, because rate doesn't mean anything about speed, apparently. So just watch out for that there.
He's not having a good day. Let's start at the beginning here. I think I heard Mario ask off the air, you were inquiring about the different processors. Was that one of your questions?
So, is Intel going to be coming out with something in the next couple of months? So
yes.
There
will always be a reason to wait.
Okay.
So that's really... there's not enough of a significant difference, and the reality is, for what you're going to be doing, the processor is actually the least important part as far as the performance of this thing.
Okay.
That if you don't have all the other stuff, it doesn't matter how great your processor is, it's going to be going through what's called wait states. It's waiting for everything else.
Okay,
so there's a point where that processor becomes a moot point, and it's probably going to happen pretty quick when you get into video editing, specifically if you don't have super fast hard drives.
Okay.
That's your biggest bottleneck. Of the three major components, you got the processor, you got the memory, the RAM,
right,
and you have the hard drive. These are the things that are going to have the impact on how things go performance-wise. The processor is the fastest of those three by some infinitesimal exponential factor. The next fastest component is the the RAM, and then the hard drive is like a pig in a poke. I mean, it is just dirt. So even the fastest drive you have, that's going to be your biggest bottleneck. Okay? So don't make the mistake of putting all your money into the fastest stuff that's already faster than the slowest part. You want to put the money into the slowest part to bring it up.
Okay.
And especially with video editing, because you're going to be doing a lot of disk access.
So what kind are the better hard drives then?
Well, it's not just the kind of hard drives, because you can go through and look at all the specifications and see those things. Okay? But it's also the way that you set the hard drives up. You can do some pretty crazy things to improve the performance. One of the things that you can do is called striping, where you're actually putting the information over multiple hard drives. Okay, so that will give you faster performance, but the trade-off is it's a lot less reliable, because if either one of those drives fails, you lose everything.
Got it.
So you see what I'm saying? You've got a lot. Yeah, Vince, you got?
Oh, well, I was going to throw in, though, RAID 5 sampling plus backup.
Well, that's it. You can do a stripe set and then mirror them. So, I mean, if you want to spend that kind of money, you'd end up with the simple way to do it would be two hard drives that are striped, right? And then two more that are backing up those two.
Well, actually, with RAID 5, it's parity.
Well, I understand. I'm not talking about... I'm just talking about striping with mirrors. That's a less sophisticated version. RAID 5 has its own issues. It gets into complexity and some other things that... Our data recovery lab sees a lot of people with RAID 5 that they thought they had everything under control, and they just configured it wrong. It's more complicated, so... But you need to look into all those drive subsystems. Earlier in the show, I talked to somebody that was looking at doing some... like a TiVo replacement.
Okay.
And I suggested a website. I don't know if you heard it. It's Tom's Hardware.
Tom's Hardware.
Tom'sHardware.com. You just put it into Google, you'll find it. One of the preeminent websites that really reviews a lot of hardware. And so start reading through a lot of the articles when they talk about specific components. They really break it down. If you're really into the technical side of this thing and you want to get it down to the nth degree, that's a great site to find those specific components.
Okay.
The reality is there's no time for me, and there's no way that I can give you the configuration you need for this. This is going to require you to do a lot of homework.
Okay.
So that you understand, because you got a motherboard, processor, bus speed. You got all these things that you want to consider if you want the ultimate video editing machine. So the other thing you can do is start searching for the ultimate video editing machine to see what kind of specs these pre-made companies, these people that are selling these $5,000 and $6,000 video editing machines, what are they using in there? What components? Because a lot of times you can use those components on your custom-built one.
Okay.
Make sense?
Kind of, yeah.
So use the Internet, your friend. Tom's Hardware is a great resource. Go out there and start, just plagiarize.
Fantastic.
Actually, all right.
Do I have time for one more?
If you don't mind holding, because right now it's time for Steve-O Ludwig. One last time, tell us, can we get home?